Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, good evening, and welcome back to ScaryCast. We have returned after a two-week absence. I'll tell you what, the Lizardman Festival wore us out, but we're back. ScaryCast is alive and stronger than ever, so I hope everyone's had a great couple of weeks, and glad to have you online listening to us tonight. So first of all, upcoming events. This coming Friday, which, you know, will be Lizard Man Day, June the 29th, on the boardwalk in Myrtle Beach at Carolina Caricatures, 946 Boardwalk. So we will celebrate Lizard Man's 30th anniversary since that famous sighting with Christopher Davis. Looking forward to it. So everybody come join us for Lizard Man Day in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. 946 Boardwalk at Carolina Caricatures. Come join us starting at noon. Now at about 6 p.m. we'll have Lizard Man juice, and we'll have Lizard Man cupcakes. It's going to be all fun, kid friendly. And between 8 and 10 p.m. the Lizard Man will be there. Family friendly Lizard Man will be there for pictures with everyone. So come see us June 29th, Saturday, for the Lizard Man Day in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, the first of many. So hope everyone can do that. And tonight, we are fortunate to have a very good friend of mine, someone whose opinion matters. He's told me some great things over the years that we've known each other. And it is high time that Reverend Shane Griffin showed up on ScaryCast. So I called him up the other day and said, "Are you ready to be on with ScaryCast?" He said, "Absolutely." Shane, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. I'm doing real well. Yeah, I appreciate you having me on the show here.
Well, you are welcome. Glad to have you here. I put up there kind of the generic, we're going to talk about universal consciousness. But I'll tell you what, we talked about a lot of different things. And when you started telling me about some of the things that you've experienced in your mind, in your heart, and in reality, I said, people need to know about this. So let's start from the very beginning, which they say is a very good place to start, Shane. Talk to us about, first of all, I want to tell everybody that you are a super dad. You got three great kids. The last time I got to see you was last year in Myrtle Beach. We did the caricature for you and your kids. You got great kids. You're a wonderful dad. That it's very obvious that you're a super dad. So anyway, tell us all about, what are we going to talk about tonight?
It leads into so much. I mean, universal consciousness, I don't know if there's any way, I guess, to really express all of it and everything and being linked together in one word, but universal consciousness is a good word, a place to start. As far as what you're saying from the beginning, me and John, we had met before in South Carolina when I was at the beach, and we've been good friends. And he called me up one day, and he could contest, and a few other, you know, close friends and family of mine could as well. But something had really come over me, and, you know, we hear a lot about we're going through an awakening period, and, I mean, everybody, I'm sure, is aware of the terms of that, and basically the shifting universal consciousness. And so I had my own experience, and, you know, I can't say exactly what brought it on. It could have been, you know, just stress, or just maybe I connected a few things in my mind, and that kind of led me into that experience. Maybe
it was time for it to happen.
Well, you know what, that's a good way to explain it too. And really, when it happened, I felt like everything in my life that had ever happened had really led up to that moment. I mean, everything was, you know, speaking to me in a way of, it's just everything was communicating with me in a way to a greater picture and the bigger picture and everything. You know, it was just one thing led me into another thing, and it really just following your own thoughts and sometimes step out and to, you know, realize that thoughts. Your thoughts aren't always yours. You know, it's like a river that is constantly flowing, a river of consciousness that is constantly flowing, a river of life. And, you know, we can control them a lot of times, but when we let go, when we really let go and let go of our problems, and we, you know, sit back and take a deep breath, you can really step to the side and see how, as your thoughts flow by, and what they're bringing. And so I guess maybe it was just me being open-minded enough and stuff to at first initially pick it up. But when I did, it scared me. It scared the crap out of me, because it's kind of like if somebody came in your house in the middle of the night and you didn't expect them, and they cut on a light, you know, and all of a sudden you can see everything, you know, and it's going to alarm you a little bit. And in a way, I guess turning on the light is a good way to put it, to start. But
absolutely.
When basically when it came over me, I took in information from all information from just all across history. Just I remember quotations. I remember stuff that had just maybe, you know, passed in one ear and out of the other when I was a child, and everything really just formed the greater picture. And then as I started to look, and I've always been a philosophical thinker, you know, I've always been, I guess you could say, a deeper thinker, and you know, I've got a thirst for knowledge, and but anyway, so when this happened, it's just like everything really showed me how there is an underlying voice, you know, that the universal consciousness is always present. And it's, you know, each of us are part of the universal consciousness. And we've each, you know, we are each just limbs of this tree. You know, it, however you want to look at it, it's, you can, you know, call it the infinite. And the best way to get to an infinite number isn't really to multiply, but it is to divide. The quickest way to get to infinite numbers by division, and so, because that is what it is. It's just an extremely large pie that has been cut, you know, and divided out. But it is universally aware, as above, so below, that the same way we are aware, but we have so much else going on at the same time, and you know, with our nature and our bodies and stuff like that, it's a living organism. But It's a lot easier to understand when you start kind of looking at things from the aspect of common denominators. You know, what is common in everything? You know, what are these universal truths? And that led me into, you know, hermetics and universal laws and hermetic laws and stuff like that. But what really rings true about these things is that it's told in every religion, and we've got so much divide in us within our society, and have for who knows how long. And it's always about looking and pointing out things that we don't have in common, or the differences between us. When in truth, that all of the stories and all of, if we're looking at ancient literature, if we're looking at Knights of the Round Table, or, you know, it doesn't matter anything. If it's been around for a long period of time, usually there's a good reason for it, and there's always a good underlying message in there that really speaks to our subconsciousness. And that message is typically, you know, basically saying that we are all one. In a way, we're all connected. Now, of course, we're individuals, but we're all connected at the root, and, you know, that's no surprise to a lot of people. I believe a lot of people, you know, recognize that. And the idea that we are a light, you know, everything is frequency. John, I know me and you've talked about this. Everything is, it comes in frequencies.
Exactly.
You know, energies, vibrations. And they say that our whole world of matter is really just put together on vibration. I mean, it tells you right there that everything is spoken into existence. You know, that everything has been spoken into existence. Now, whichever part of the story you want to look at it, you know, you can go through any religion or all the story bases, you know, creation stories and stuff like that. They all lead back to this notion. And it's really, it's a breath out, more or less, or a breath in, you know, maybe, that everything was spoken, everything was given a name, And, you know, hey, we've got angels. They come in choirs of angels, right? You have a choir of 12 angels. And, you know, there's verses in the Bible that talks about the stars and stuff actually singing. And because they do. And now our science today, you know, we have scientists has proven that, you know, they'll let you hear the frequency and the way that it sounds, you know, to listen to Venus or to listen to Mars, you know, and really any star. But it's because light is actually a sound. It travels in light waves. I mean, it travels in waves and frequency waves. And really, I guess that's, I like to think of it as spoken light. And when you start putting this together, you realize how deeply embedded it is in our subconscious minds that we always have the tendency to follow the light, you know, and it was in symbolism even, like the Statue of Liberty. You know, we can go back to the beginning of time and think about when man first caught fire. When he caught that fire, everybody followed after him. And then, you know, of course, later on, and we come to a period of Benjamin Franklin catching lightning, and, you know, it changed the world. It caught the light, and then, you know, the Statue of Liberty, they put that there. They knew it, you know, and speaking to people on a subconscious level, when put the statue there, and she holds up the torch in her hand, and all people from all over the world, man, that symbol, the Statue of Liberty, it really struck into the core of man and their subconscious mind that says, yes, we should go there. You know, we should follow that. And but we can go into, help me out here a little bit, John. Some of the stuff we talked about as far as with light, we can go into, would you like me to basically say how all of the different religions are basically talking about this, the Jesus, the secret teachings of Jesus, and we can go back to Gnosticism or Krishna, and just to become enlightened. See, you become enlightened.
Let me step in here and tell you a little bit about what I know. I've got some good friends, the Sears family, who have been in the music business for a long time. Uncle Jimmy was Jim Seals of Seals and Cross. His brother was Dan Seals, who was a great country singer, the number one country singer in 1988 and 1989. His son Jay is a very close friend of mine who lives in Clarksville, Tennessee. And Jay taught me a lot, and I mean a lot, about the Baha'i faith. And he taught me that the Baha'i said, we're all the same inside. It doesn't matter what we look like. It doesn't matter what our color is. None of that matters. We're all the same inside. And for all the world, which has certainly lasted far beyond his life, is that if we're all the same, let's treat everyone the same. It doesn't matter what you look like, you know, anything. Give everybody the same amount of respect. Give everyone the same amount of love. And that was absolutely an incredible thought. I didn't know that. You know, I come up from a very standard Protestant background, and I didn't know that. But the fact is, we're all the same inside. It doesn't matter whether you're black, white, red, green, if you stand on your head or not, we're all the same. It's a beautiful message. So when you this is what I want to say, because I believe it. It's like, you look at Sarah Sanders, that, you know, she's a nice lady that does a good job. She's the president's press secretary. For goodness sake, don't single her out and tell her not to have dinner in your restaurant because you don't like policies of the president. Come on, the lady just reports what she is. And frankly, Shane, I've been looking for a time and place to say it. But, you know, don't persecute people. We're all the same inside. If you persecute someone else, you're persecuting yourself, because we're all the same inside.
Exactly. You know, and truly are persecuting yourself. And it's what we're leading into here is the understanding. Well, once you see the things are, you know, everything's vibrations and frequency and so forth, and what you put out comes back to you, and it is true. If I'm looking out of my window, and if I see my neighbor pull up, and he's got a new car, and if I say to myself, he doesn't deserve that. If I do not want to see my neighbor have good things, I would not have good things for myself, because that's what you're putting out there. When love is the highest frequency, so if I want all of us to do well, or if I want myself to do it, but to just really appreciate it, and also to put forth gratitude, prior to, and that, this story is told, and along with all other, belief systems in the world, as ancient as it becomes, it's the law of attraction, and whatever color we are, white light will hit a prism, and when white light hits the prism, it divides itself, and divides itself into all different fractions of color, and people tend to only see out of their own lenses. It's all about perspective, and when people are only looking through their own perspective or through their own color, this becomes this battle, this pattern of what I like to call, I think it to be the four, the four seasons, or even the four horsemen of the apocalypse, the story of that. It just kind of returns and returns itself. People will come to a point where they have truth, and then behind that truth will always come what they say would be that first horseman. I think that's just people who's trying to, use the truth to try to lie about the truth, to control that message, because there really is power in it. And we have a lot of jewels, we do. Within each of us, we have abilities to tune in and to have a personal relationship with the universe and with God. Whichever belief system you have, the message is there about the pineal gland. The pineal gland, we call it Kundalini. We could say raising a snake, or just opening your third eye. Everything is really linked to this this third eye. And when you go to, really doing your research and studying, and to follow words, not in just a way as, hey, the definition of a word, but to really trace the word back to its original meaning. Because words originally is told, in the story of the tablets of Thoth, that that writing was originally actually, something they would do in magical rituals, And that's why you have rites, magic rites or magic rituals. Now, I know a lot of people think, well, magic, that's trickery. And that's not what we're really talking about. We're talking about alchemy, the understanding of, the universe and how that it repeats itself from the large level all the way down to the smaller level. And so somebody could, a lot of metaphysicists, they will say that they believe that the monks were really metaphysicists, that they were telling the story. They were personifying these elements, or these particles, whether you're talking about particles or cells in general. These stories that they tell, it's like they personify the stories of nature down to the smallest element. And it's not that they weren't doing that. It's that a universal truth will be found in all things. And so it's the same thing that's true in a game of poker, even, would be the same thing that's true in life. And these are metaphors and ways we put the same story together or pick out likenesses. And it's really just finding that common denominator that inserts itself into all aspects of life. Whether you hear a song, you can hear it, or whether you look into a book, you'll hear this message, and the words and stuff, you can really use them to trace this back down. You can find more of the, you can go deeper into it on your own, journey for knowledge. And everybody has their own opinions about that, whether they want to or not. But the thing is that I do believe that it's been kept from us. A lot of that is because it gives you the ability to see the whole perspective, to see that all perspectives, it's like a compass roads. True north is not north at all. It is the center. It is the center. To step outside of that never-ending circle that's been going on, that's been plaguing mankind, and coming back to going back within. and looking within ourselves and really learning that, you know, I have the ability to tap in to a universal consciousness. You know, you can find that consciousness. A lot of people, they call it ether. You know, so the ancients, it was told that there's a gaseous level above the clouds, and that it's called ether, and that's where everything that has ever happened in the universe is stored in the ether. And, you know, that might sound like science fiction to a lot of you guys, but no more than we have radio waves today. We don't have any more radio waves today or electricity today than we did 1,000 years ago. But it's just being able to tap into that. Now, you know, to actually tap into electricity or tap into radio waves or internet and so forth. And, you know, so I do believe that there is this level of ether. A lot of people will call it the Akashic Records, or they will call it the Karmic Records, or there's quite a few different names for that. And I like to think of it up in that ether is also what forms the Northern Lights. And what makes that so interesting is that the Northern Lights is also called the Aurora Borealis. And it truly is. It's the world's aura. You know, it's the Aurora Borealis, and then it's the snake that eats itself is the Ouros Boros. You know, and this just goes to show one of the things about words that when we go talking about, you can really, you know, you can really look into those and just find the likenesses, the stories that repeat themselves in that kind of way. And also, too, to really open your mind and know that. All right, so a lot of people will say, well, Jesus didn't happen. That's the same story that was told. That story had been told, you know. They could go into, you know, saying that it was the same story as Horus or Zoroaster and so forth, because all of these people have similar stories and their messages are similar. And it isn't that it didn't, that they're copying each other. It's just that time repeats itself. And if you look into the Bible, there's the same story that repeats itself again and again amongst different, you know, people. It's just different characters, but it's the same story that continues. And it's telling you, you know, that history does repeat itself. So these people who used to, you know, they would see into the future. A lot of even the prophets in those books, they're also doing the same thing. They know that they have the knowledge that time repeats itself. And so that's what they're, you know, saying is going to happen. It's the same thing that has happened in the past. And that makes a lot of sense, actually, because we do kind of live on the face of a clock. You know, we've got 12. This is some of the stuff that kind of like came to me. You know, we live on Earth, you know, under the 12 zodiac signs. We've got 12 numbers on the clock. We've got 12, you know, apostles and 12 knights of the round table. You know, we can really just follow this number 12 a long way. And, so of course, 12 has its own frequency. See, everything is really relevant. The biggest moral of the story is that when you say something or how you feel, you know, that is really what you're attracting onto your life. And if I feel hatred, well, then I'm in my own kind of hell, you know. If I feel bitterness and if I'm always worrying, and there's really, it's like there's a master key system. And there are certain keys that will open up doors for you in your mind and in your life. And the thing is that the most important key is one that you can't see at all, and that's the key of faith. Because if I believe it to happen, then that really gives it a certain strength and a certain power that does manifest that into reality, if I truly believe and have faith, and that it will happen. And in the way that it said that we are all, you know, we're all, you know, how could I say it? I'd hate to say it like this, but we're all gods, you know, in our own way. Not like we are the God, but we are connected to God. You know, we make up God. And so, God, you know, I'm a hand, right? And the word man actually means hand if you look it up to its original root definition or etymology. And it's kind of, you know, where if you look at Krishna's got all his hands, you know. You think, oh, there's no creature that looks like that. It's got, you know, eight arms. And well, I think the message is that it's one conscious being, and we're all parts of it, and it really can, you know, and we can, the same eye that God sees us through, we can also look back up through it, and it's the pineal gland. And people have negative experiences if they've already got some negative things going on, usually in their mind. That I'm not saying this is something that anybody should just go and do, because everybody doesn't have the greatest experience with it. And a lot of that is because it's a true reflection of yourself. And, you know, it's like you back up, you take a true reflection of yourself. But here's the thing, is that we're eternal beings, you know, and that's what our purpose is to learn again, you know, or to grow and to, you know, really, you know, just through lifetime, spiritually growth. And we're at a point in time with our society that we don't even value that. We want what we can have more than what we can be. You know, that's what's more important. What do I have? Not, you know, who am I? And who am I deep down? And but through science, if we're looking at science, if we're looking at religion, and Nikola Tesla, I love Nikola Tesla. You know, he said that when we start to study, we really start to focus our studies on frequency, vibration, and energy, and also too on the non-physical aspects of the universe, that we'll make more accomplishment in 10 years than we have in 100. And I think that is, I think it's time that we break down these barriers that we're all thinking, hey, we're all so much separate and worse, you know, and find what is that, what's the message that is, continues to, if I believe in God, if you believe in God, or anybody does, or a universal consciousness, then you have to think, well, it's actually leaving something in there, and you know, and it does, because it's time to focus on what we have in these stories that are all alike, and that we can all connect, and we can all start really open up our minds to things from all perspectives, you know, to really step out of that one track, you know, mind, or where you're just so tapped into your physical five senses that you don't grow any spiritually. But, you know, there's just a lot on this that we could go further into, but I don't want to really overload everybody's mind at one time. But, you know, like, so in other words, whatever we say it is, it is. So whatever I say it is, and then if you got a different belief, well, I guarantee that our two beliefs will have something in common. You know, I could ask one person, I could say, well, what do you think this is? They'll say, I think it's a matrix, right? And another person, they might say, man, we live in the, we live in the belly of the beast. I don't know. I think that, they could all have their own, you know, ideas. But then you can look back at the words and see that the true meaning of matrix actually means womb. It means womb. And, Jesus, he said that they said, what would be the end of days like? He said, well, the end would be like the beginning. And that's why it's Alpha and Omega, because it is a mega O. You know, it's just a circle. You cannot be, and this is when I say that time repeats itself, is to understand that you can't start, you know, and end at the same spot without being in a circle. And also, too, about, you know, like, well, how words, okay, it's called the world. And it was world into being. We find this Fibonacci sequence, you know, that the pattern, that just continuously, you know, circles itself. And the thing is that, yeah, we do kind of in a way live on the face of a clock, and things do repeat, but time is just, you know, it's more about the direction that we're going. Yeah, we turn clockwise. Yeah, we move with the stars, and yeah, time moves. But that doesn't mean that we don't have everything is always moving forward. A forward spirit was placed in all things. Oh, a wayward spirit was placed in all things. And it says that in Scripture. And so it doesn't really matter, you know, which one we're looking at. But I really find it interesting myself how it comes back to nature, you know, how it comes back to science. And, you know, we've got the golden ratio. We've got Fibonacci. sequence. We've got the quantum atom theory, and you know, it's all really about revolving, you know, how the story of rebirth, and just, you know, it's just it really is just a lot of different things. Shauna, I don't really know exactly where to go next with it. Do you have any input on that? John?
Oh,
hey, John.
Hold on. Hey, can you hear me now? Sorry, I slipped on mute so we could hear you better. What I was going to say is you've given us a really good panorama of what you're looking at and what do you hope to accomplish. I mean, we've talked about, you know, putting on some seminars, getting people together, teaching them about this. What are you looking, you know, what would you like to see happen with all of this? Because as we reach a new age of enlightenment, it's going to do nothing but help everybody, right?
That, exactly. You know, it's you know, this is my first time to really talk about this publicly. You know, me and John and a few close friends of mine, we've discussed this, and we really do like this message. You know, we hope to see it get out, and it's what I would like to see happen is people to really just take the common sense to understand that, hey, I mean, you know, we're frequencies, we're vibrations, we're music, you know, and let's really harmonize with each other. Isn't it time that we quit playing these games of war and really start, you know, playing a song together, you know, and following.
I got to stop you because that's a really great point, Shane. We're all music, and if we play together, we can create incredible harmonies. If we work against each other, we have these horrible discords that are nothing but loud noise and don't do anyone any good. So the
right.
more we work
so
together,
the sound of broken glass. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, you're right.
Work together. Oh, I was saying, yeah, it's like broken glass, you know, instinctively, I mean, something about the sound of a chalk, you know, fingers on a chalkboard or broken glass, it's unsettling. And I think our society has gotten to a point where we do, you know, it's like there's an illness there because we see so much going on here in the ways of, I mean, I hate, you know, to really even just speak on it, but the school shootings and all of this other stuff. But at the end of the day, I think that it's really saying that we've got some kind of sickness and we're off balance a little bit. And I think that it's time for us to recenter ourselves. And I think that's the big message, to recenter ourselves and to understand that it's we're all connected, that we are all light, and down to a biological level, we have biophotons that, you know, are constantly being created down to our DNA. And, I mean, it's a beautiful picture that you could paint with it, or you could paint a more negative picture. I think it's about us really being conscious about what we're thinking and about what we're saying and about what we, you know, put all over the TV and what we, you know, put on posters and billboards, and really to understand that, hey, those words, they're symbols, and those symbols, they really speak to us in at a subconscious level. And that we should, you know, keep our eye gates, our ear gates, and our mouth gates, you know, and really stand the guard of that at all times, and to put good things out there for each other. You know, I want to build good energy around myself. This is the thing, like, this is science, you know. I want to build good energy around myself, and I want good things for me, you know, and stuff like that. Now, naturally, if I go to my neighbor or somebody who's supposed to be a good friend of mine and their ego gets involved, if I say, hey, I want to do this, or I've got a dream, hey, I'm going to do this, and then deep down they say to themselves, nah, he won't, you know, or something, you know, just something negative, like, yeah right, you know. Deep down they just don't want to see you prevail, you know, and it's out of whatever egotistical things, you know, emotion that they're allowing themselves to be taken over by. But that puts bad energy on you, you know, in the book of Thomas that Jesus said, one doesn't let the right hand, I mean, the right hand doesn't let the left hand know what it's doing. And that's a shame, you know. So I think that through a lot of period of time that people have really kept a lot of this information, because this information has been out there. And the thing is if that we don't understand that, if we're not conscious of it, it's being used against us subliminally. It's being used against us through the TVs. It's been, you know, and it's up to us ourselves to seek insight, to really seek that divine part of ourselves and to be aware of that. And, you know, that's where our intuition comes from. That's where we're going to get the answers for our future. You know, the more that we can tune ourselves and retune ourselves and set the record straight, you know, it's the recore, trying to recore ourselves, because right now it's off. And what, so I would like to see is that people behave in that way, and also, too, to start looking at things, you know, as far as how we function as a society, and is this really the best way to do it? You know, we've all got jobs we've got to do. We've all got, you know, things got to get done. But I think there's a position for everybody. I think the biggest thing is that we follow our passions. I think inherently, I think we're all born with our own passions, our own set of passions. And what we're passionate about is we should listen to that. You know, we should always be open and, you know, receptive to what the universe is telling us. And sometimes, you know, it seems like it comes in riddles to me. You know, it's like, man, everything is a riddle, you know. And because, but it's a beautiful thing at the same time, just how everything is connected, honestly. And me personally, what I would love to do, if I could, John, if I could ever, you know, get to a point where I could do it, where I'm at with raising my children right now, or maybe, you know, help inspire somebody within the community to pull together into this. I think that talent centers, we should have talent centers for the youth in every city, every major city. And,
absolutely.
You know.
I agree with you, James.
Right. I would like to do a thing where we pull the youth together. Hey, they might not get into, you know, right now, you know, kids are out here killing, you know, other kids. And so, you know, and the thing is that they're all focused on their own thing, the negative energies, and they don't know that they could have something better. You know, we could have a talent center in a community, two kids from separate, you know, neighborhoods they otherwise might not know each other or might not like each other, you know, but if they find themselves both interested in the same things, and if we encourage this kind of growth with our children, you know, instead of giving them, hey, the basic studies, this is it, and, you know, I think that it's possible that we can all really do what we're passionate about. And I think that in doing that, you know, we can find a certain energy in that and a certain vibe where a lot of our answers, you know, a lot of our questions would be answered when we really start looking at things from all angles. And, you know, right now, you know, it seems like everybody in their own way, but we get sucked into our own little lives, you know, and even if there's a group of professionals, you know, you might have five professionals and each one of them does their job, but they don't communicate with each other. You know, you could have in all different fields of thought and ideas. And I would like to eventually do something like that, of course, to bring people together and to give them, give the youth a chance and the artists out in the world a chance to express themselves and to do it in a pure way and, you know, without being told what they have to, you know, to dumb it down a little bit for the audience and, you know, stuff like that. But I think that when that happens, I think that this is when we really find, you know, an underlying message, you know, for ourselves and our subconsciousness, that if you're awake to these other aspects of life, then you can pick that up. And I think that the universe really is telling us which way to go here. I know I've said it before, it's kind of like silly little things like this, right? So Dr. Seuss, you know, he wrote about the Grinch who stole Christmas. Now, I think in the long run, the moral of that story is that we are the Grinches. And I think, you know, that because, hey, we're not harmonizing with each other. You see at the end of that movie, you know, they're harmonizing with each other and they get their Christmas back. And I know that's a little child, you know, it's a children's message, but sometimes it really is, I think, that simple, is that when we start to harmonize with each other, well, then we can get Christmas back. You know, get the who. So we can give it back to the who, right? But you know, I think there's just a little funny. It's comedic in some ways. In some ways, it's serious. And you could, you know, you can look at the world from whichever kind of aspect you want to. And, you know, but you have to really be careful about what you're saying, what you're thinking. And if we're saying things, you know, we find ourselves talking all the time about what we don't want to happen, then naturally that's what we're going to call on to ourselves. I like to see everybody truly empty your cup. Empty your cup and, you know, open your mind to all possibilities and to the idea that if man thinks it, then man has created it. You know, it's like the airplane. It's something that we imagine, you know, we envision ourselves doing well before it happens, and we call that onto ourselves. We call that into our future. We call that onto us, and it's the same way that a lot of us does in our own life. You know, we're so caught up on the negative things, and we're not grateful for the moment. And I like Alan Watts. He said that, you know, if you can't appreciate the moment, then you don't deserve, you know, a greater future in a lot of ways, because, you know, you're not going to, if you're not appreciative. But, you know,
exactly.
Yes. What's that, John?
I said I agree with you totally. I mean, you know, because if you don't, I mean, nothing will ever happen. So, I mean, I think you've got the right perspective here. And what we need to do is bring this to people. And what I'm hoping, Shane, is over the next 2 or 3 weeks, or however long it takes us, I'd like for you to be my guest, and let's talk about this a little bit more and expand on some of these ideas. How does that sound to you?
Hey, I would like that. I would like that. And it would give me a chance to really kind of ease into this and a lot of this. It's something I don't want to overload everybody with one time. This is, I think, basically I like to ask people to, like I said, empty your cups, you know, to really just empty your cups and to kind of start to take some of this in and that, you know, really, you know, keep your eyes for it. But it's something that you will start seeing on your own. You know, you'll see it on your own. It said that,
exactly.
Do I not have eyes? Do you not have eyes? Do you not have ears? Can't you hear? You know, and there's a universal language. Not only is there a universal consciousness, but there is a universal language. And basically knowing. You know, so the more that message is controlled and the box it around, you know, don't put a box around anything. You know, I don't think anybody should put a box around anything. If I close my eyes, or if I ask you to close your eyes, well, then it's a lot easier to imagine. It's to, you know, where do you stop? Where is the very most outer limit of your body? You can put your arms out, but if you're not, you know, and you're not looking, and you close your eyes, and you really think about it, I'm connected to everything. You know, I am, and we're all connected to each other. And, you know, we should really treat each other like that, like extensions of ourselves, which will never happen completely, you know, and there are cancers, you know, even within my own body, you know, I will have cancer, you know, or it's a possibility that I could have cancer, of course. But you know, what we find even in cancer is what causes that, you know, and it's kind of like, yeah, so as above, so below. So, what causes cancer in my body is when I'm, you know, what I'm putting into it or, you know, what I'm letting enter my body. And what they've actually come to find out is that cancer in your body is when your cells have too little light. It's the biophotons that is created in your DNA, which is at the nucleus of every cell on your body. It you know, produces light. It produces biophotons. So what they've understood here recently about cancer is that we have too little light in those cells, and but then you could have multiple sclerosis and have too much. But nonetheless, it's kind of like, you know, within our society, yeah, you know, if I'm getting cancer, then I'm going to look at my diet. I'm going to look at what I've been doing or what could have caused this. Well, that's you know, we can kind of observe things, and people come together, really come together and talk about things. We can all say the same, you know, I would like to sit. I would like people to sit down. I would like people to start talking about things more than just the weather. And I would like people to really open up the, you know, to get people from all aspects, and, you know, like what you do on your show here, John. Just get people from all aspects of human thought and bring them together. And, you know, let's just see what really comes out of that, you know, and look, step back and quit looking at that as so many different voices and look at it as, in a way, one voice. And when we put people together and we don't put limitations on, you know, on our ideas and on our beliefs and use our imagination. There's imagination and magic share the same root word in Greek. Because you can really, you know, you can really manifest things which was showing to be happening. By looking at history, you can tell that it has happened more or less, is what I'm saying. But yeah, I would like that, John. I would like to kind of go a little further into depth with this.
Yeah, and we can start doing this. We'll do it for a couple of weeks and until we're comfortable that we have really presented what we need to, and I think that we'll have a good time. So what I wanted to say is, I mean, this has been a great first step, Shane, to teach everybody what we're talking about. And we'll be back next week. So can you come back a week from tonight, same bat time and same bat channel?
Right, yeah. Oh, I'll be there.
All right, good. I'll make sure there. We'll put something on the ScaryCast. And it's been great having you and talking with you about this perspective. So I want to say thank you very much. Please tell the kids I said hello. And I'll get up with you soon. And we'll say, now, be sure this Friday night, Myrtle Beach, Lizard Man Day at 946 Boardwalk at Carolina Caricatures. So do not miss the Lizard Man. Lizard Man's a good boy. He takes care of people. He does great things. Look, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for being with us tonight with ScaryCast. Thanks to our guest, Reverend Shane Griffin. And we'll see everybody next week on the one and only ScaryCast.